Well, hello there, and welcome to Poor Quality, a show where some friends talk about beer and life and all the goofy stuff that gets in between the two. Each week, the host may be different, but don't worry. They're all guaranteed poor quality material. Well, join us and listen in as the brew crew talks about what ails their life. Now, let's see what we're drinking.
Episode 19.
I can't believe it.
It's about time. I'm sick of being a teenager.
Wait, you're still a teenager.
I'm ready to move on. Move forward.
Well, you're not there yet.
Okay.
Your 20s are time for growth.
Next.
And
no, we're not.
I'm
but we're
excited.
Not. Hey, but wait, Mike, don't get ahead of yourself.
But
we are
wait.
Not there yet.
Yeah, we're still early. Ignorant teenagers. This is going to get a whole lot better next episode, everyone who's listening.
Yeah, everything's going to get a lot more intelligent.
Much more polished.
Very mature.
Yes. Oh.
But though we will have a college phase.
Yeah.
College!
We've been illegally drinking this whole time?
I don't know.
That's not a way I like to look at it. Anyway, welcome to Poor Quality. I'm your host, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, it's me.
Hey.
Hi. Hello.
That's not a thing that we normally do on the show. I just felt like it was appropriate.
It was very
it was nice.
I was
it
right
was
there
nice.
With you.
How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Everybody ready?
I'm feeling good.
For a night of fun?
Yeah, always.
So ready.
A night of
Are
exuberance.
Are you ready?
Let's get crazy.
Bring on the whimsy.
Let's get crazy
tonight. Tonight's whimsical podcast. The topic tonight is humor.
Oh.
Humor and comedy. Thank you, Mike. I didn't know I was so naturally funny. So, tonight I asked the boys, I didn't ask him yet, I'm asking him right now, the beer that you're drinking, describe them as your favorite, not your favorite, what this beer reminds you of in terms of a comedian.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So I'll give you a second to think about it. I'll go ahead with mine first.
I mean, do you need to?
I'll go ahead and take a sip of my beer. Tonight, I'm drinking a Not Your Father's Ginger Ale. Now, I didn't know Not Your Father's made a ginger ale. Alcoholic ginger ale, of course.
Of course.
For the longest time, I thought they just made root beer. And, you know, I haven't done a lot of research, but they may have just made root beer for a while. Anyway, Not Your Father's Ginger Ale. Love ginger ale. Let me go ahead and take a taste and then tell you about the comedian.
I wonder how he'll spin this one.
Wow. This tastes good. It tastes like ginger ale. That's alcoholic. And if I were to pick a comedian that this beer reminded me of, see, the struggle with this is that I know I've studied so many comedians, and this is such a deep passion for me that I feel feel bad. This reminds me of two comedians. The first one is, of course, Sigourney Weaver from Alien.
And her comical role.
That's obvious in that comedy romance Alien.
I love that bit in that movie when she goes off about the aliens. Boy, I really did enjoy that part.
I was rolling in laughter.
And they're, she just, her monologues throughout that movie, whew, killer. And the other comedian, this reminds me of Robin Williams, who, rest in peace, my man. He is one of my, in terms of improv and just off the dome humor, that man is unlike any other. And I've spent so many, I don't know about everybody's relationship with YouTube, but I've spent just hours and hours just watching clips, random clips of interviews and just his stand up and just he is just brilliant and so fast.
Yeah.
And witty and just and all of that is what this beer reminds me of. Hey, Chris.
Yep.
Avid comedian fanatic.
I was going to say, I'm normally quiet. This is probably going to be the quietest you've ever heard me because I know like three comedians.
The quietest we've ever heard you.
Yep.
Chris, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking. I forgot. Cool.
I'm right. Drinking. It's so funny because he proclaims to not like comedy, but he's the best of us. He's the best among
us. I am drinking a Yazoo Pale Ale. And it's for some reason like the word pale and ale, I figured it'd be lighter, but it's actually pretty dark and hoppy, I think. I mean correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean it's still good. I was just it wasn't what I was expecting, but I think comedian wise I'm gonna go with Nick Offerman because he's a favorite of mine, and he's that like dark suave dude. He's not really suave.
He's a very funny man.
Yeah,
he rolls he does the man's man humor. Yes. Good old American man with a beard and an axe humor.
Mm-hmm. And this beer kind of it's dark and musky and reminds me of
I like it
Nick Offerman.
I like it.
Yep,
that's good.
Also, his laugh is my favorite.
Yes, his laugh is incredible.
Because his giggle, and then he's like this manly man.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
How about you, Zach?
I am also drinking a pale ale, which you are. I don't know, pale ales are weird because everybody thinks they're light, but they're not actually. Like, they're a hop forward. They're a hop forward beer. And, like, I'm holding up my glass. You listeners at home can't see it, but it's fairly dark. But anyways, this pale ale, was made by Single Speed Brewing Company. And it doesn't have a name yet, because we're just experimenting with a new pale ale recipe and some new ingredients and stuff, but, it's very tasty and it reminds me of, let's see, it's kind of, it's very smooth. It's pleasant. But it's not wimpy either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna. This is tough. I haven't studied stand up comedy to the level that Matt has. Robin Williams is one of my favorites as well, and I do enjoy stand up comedy very much. So I'm gonna have to go ahead and say. Eddie Murphy, young Eddie Murphy, because it's very like just it flows. It's very smooth. It's easy to drink. Mm-hmm. Like it might not be, I guess, the most appropriate humor, and that's kind of that edginess that the hops give it. So I guess that's where I see this beer as, or what I see this.
Good
beer
answer.
As.
You good took job, that man. And ran. You did a very good job with that.
Thanks. Let's see. Trenton.
That's me.
What beer are you drinking?
So I am drinking one of my favorites tonight. It is the Ballast Point Pineapple Sculpin.
Mm. Okay.
It's a IPA with natural pineapple flavors, and it is super delicious. You've got that IPA bitterness, but it's kind of masked with a citrusy... breezy, tasty pineapple. So it's a pretty floral, fruity brew. So maybe, I'm just trying to think. I don't do a whole lot of stand-up, which is weird, I guess. But I was thinking Ellen Page, because it's got like a brightness to it and like a fun energy. But like with some of the hops, like some of like sarcasm, the bitterness.
All right.
So
okay,
that's what I'll say.
I'll accept
it.
You've done it.
It. I don't mean this to be mean towards Trent. It does she do? Is she a comedian?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that.
She's got to be. Why are you shaking your head? She is.
She's an actress.
No, she's not. That can
be funny.
I mean, just because somebody acts in a comedy doesn't make them a comedian.
I think she is.
No, it's. I mean, I honestly don't know.
I like the Hemsworth boys because they said that one funny thing once. Shut up, comedians.
I honestly didn't bring it up to pick on you, Trent. I'm sorry that Matt is running with it.
I'm right there with you, Zach.
Sorry, I was trying to bring like a cool feminine vibe to the podcast, boys.
You could have brought Ellen DeGeneres.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, you could have brought Amy Schumer, even though her latest stand-up is very poorly reviewed.
Ellen DeGeneres is too sweet. This beer's got like a nice... Who's a sarcastic female comedian?
Lisa Lampanelli is raunchy.
I don't want Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler is good.
Sarcastic female comedian.
Paula Poundstone, she's incredible.
Sarah Silverman. This beer is Sarah Silverman. Is everybody happy?
No, okay. No, I'm not happy. Really like I'm not Sarah happy Silverman. That we bullied you into that, but I am happy that you picked an actual comedian this time.
You guys suck.
I said I accepted it. Zach was the one who brought up the fact that I secretly didn't.
Whatever. Mike. Hey, I'm basically going to leave the show now, so if you want to go and pop in here, it's fine.
I can do my best. Tonight, I am drinking Dark Matter. It's a black IPA from Blackstone Brewery in Nashville. And let's see. I'm going to refresh my palate. Okay. Easy to drink. It has its bolder characters in the hops. It's I haven't had a ton of black IPAs, but this one strikes me as like even a little bit easier to drink than just like a standard run-of-the-mill IPA. For my comedian, I am going to choose Dave Chappelle.
All right.
It has its way of, you know, I can get along very easily with it, even though at times, like maybe I,
On your face, I'm really so deep in concentration.
Okay, let me go through my thought process
into the mind of Mike.
Yes, let's go into the recesses of
dive
my mind.
Dive in.
Black IPA, I was thinking, hey, maybe I could choose a black comedian. That would be interesting. I thought, maybe...
Well, here's the thing. You did keep saying black. Like, black IPA.
Like, I was watching Matt's face, and I thought for sure that he was trying so hard not to laugh because he knew that you were going to pick a black comedian. Well,
I was just like, is it okay? It's
I almost made a you have to pick a white comedian joke now.
Well, I didn't want to go that route either because I feel like that would be totally against like, what would like, make
oh,
sense.
Oh, black, might as well pick white. There's no way that you win.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted it to flow well.
A bunch of white dudes.
What I didn't do is make it flow well.
No. I thought you did
now
great. Once again, Zach is bringing this up after the fact.
I feel relieved, at least, Mike. This is great for me personally that this is happening to you now.
It was fine.
Mike did really well. I was just thinking, and I saw Matt's face, and Matt and I were thinking the same thing.
And you saw Dave Chappelle live, right?
And that's one thing I wanted to touch on, too. And he's incredible. I just wanted to say those things.
No, he is incredibly funny. Dave Chappelle is one of the funniest human beings
absolutely.
On this
yeah,
planet.
Absolutely. I miss his show. I wish they brought that back.
I mean, I doubt it would. It would not have. It would not be as good today.
It can't be. No, there's no way.
It's fine.
I'm sorry, Trent.
If I would have done the beer that I had before the show, the Blonde Fatale, it could have been the Blonde Fat Ale, which would have been really easy to do Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, that yes. Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking about that.
Is that your Jim Gaffigan voice?
That's not a good impression of Jim Gaffigan.
Hey guys, what's up with the Hot Pockets?
You sound like Bert.
You sound like Bert from Sesame Rubber Street Ducky, doing a Jim Gaffigan bit.
It's a niche impression. Not everybody gets it.
Not everybody gets the complexities of it. It's yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Now that we got through that,
you guys are the worst.
After we got through that 15-minute introduction, let's dive into it. I'll start.
Nobody saw that one coming.
Nope. I'll touch briefly on. There was a time in my life around junior high and high school where I just couldn't sleep, and before bed every night, I tried to figure out a way to fall asleep, and I listened to music for a while, and music never really worked. And one day, my dad brought in this old CD. Well, it wasn't really that old, but it's old now. Of Spock versus Q. Spock and Q from Star Trek, of course. Spock the Vulcan, who's all about logic, and Q, who's this pretty much omnipotent being from. Is he from the original series? I think he is. Anyway, so basically, it's just a comedic sort of spoken word story that they just go at it, and it's hilarious. And I would listen to that every single night, and I did that for probably about a year, maybe 2 years. I would listen to this one show over and over and over again, and then eventually I would branch out and I downloaded this like FrostWire link or something. You know, back in the early 2000s,
LimeWire,
FrostWire, it all gave you viruses. Not you, your computer.
Some of this, some of that.
I downloaded this link.
Lyme disease. Sorry, it was too good.
Too good. I'm so sorry. That's interesting. To interrupt you. It's interesting you say how good it is.
I mean, it's in terms of puns.
In terms of puns, an excellent form of humor.
Or scurvy.
One that Chris specializes in. Scurvy, not so much a form of humor I prefer. That's just me, though. I mean, I know that there are things.
Do you think Lyme disease prevents scurvy?
I don't know what Trent thinks, but I hope it's not that, because we have more than one thing to discuss if that is the case. We'll unpack that later, though. More about me. Basically, I downloaded about 70 stand-up comedy albums, all the way ranging from like the 50s to modern-day stand-up. And I would listen to all of it. There was a ton of George Carlin on there. There was Dave Chappelle, of course. There was Ellen DeGeneres, all of her early stand-up in the 90s, and Chris Rock and all that stuff. And I would listen to it every single night. And I did that for two reasons. One, because I couldn't sleep. And two, because in junior high and high school, for the longest time, I was not funny at all. I was a kid who would say things and nobody would laugh, or I would not say anything and just be silent and be the butt of some of my friends' jokes. And I hated it. I wanted to be funny so bad. And so I literally studied comedy and listened to stand-up and learned and taught myself how these brilliantly funny people speak and how they tell stories and how they are funny, and it's all of that is what makes what I think has made me able to be a relatively humorous individual, and it's something that is really near and dear to my heart, and something that I've spent a lot of time and energy on constructing myself to be this, because there are naturally funny people. Mike is a naturally funny person. Trent. I was not naturally funny for a grand majority of my life, and I wanted it so bad, and I committed to it, and I think I got to a pretty decent place, and that's something I'm very, very proud of. Now, of course, I'm not perfect. A lot of my jokes flop, especially at work. But that's just because, not everybody knows me so well there.
It's an acquired taste.
Now, Matt, do you think that this, do you consider this podcast work?
That's cool, man. You know, that's super cool.
Zach is nailing it.
Zach's got it with...
Kill him.
No, we do that to me. That's my humor.
Yeah, see, Trent feels uncomfortable when he's not the one being made fun of. I can see him sweating over there.
I'm gonna be very pushy, and I'm sorry, boys, but I want to go next because my story is very, very, very similar to Matt's, and I feel like while it's fresh in everybody's head, I'm just going to, like, recap his and then explain how mine.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, no, like, I'm exactly, like I was not funny. I was, I still probably am not as funny as I think I am, but I was even worse before. Didn't understand timing, didn't understand what people thought was funny, didn't understand that you didn't always have to say something, which I know might be hard for people who listen to this podcast to believe because I feel like I always butt in. But anyways, I listen to a lot of stand-up comedy, and I do think I learned a lot. Eddie Murphy, as I said earlier, Robin Williams, like George Carlin, Mitch Hedberg, like some of the funniest people whoever have lived, like, love all of their stuff, and I've watched it over and over and over again. And all that has, of course, influenced me, just like Matt. But I think that surrounding myself with funny people has been another huge thing in terms of making me funny. And Matt is nodding very vigorously right now. But, like, I mean, part of the reason that Trent and I are such good friends is because I always just wanted to be around him because he's so funny. And just naturally, so like he doesn't have to try for it. And a couple of our other friends in high school were like that, and my older cousin was like that, and I just always wanted to be like that. And so surrounding myself with people who are naturally funny and then emulating them and, like, honestly just copying some of their jokes and seeing how they have that comedic timing and stuff like that has really helped me develop my own sense of humor. Whether it's good or not is probably not up to me to decide, but I'm more proud of it now than I was in high school. So that just, my story kind of dovetailed really well into Matt's, so I just wanted to take over the podcast and
I love it. Let's keep this rapid fire going, and then we'll discuss right down the line. Who's next?
I guess would be me, logically.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also, okay. Please, you're a robot.
Oh, I hate this.
Bye, Trent.
Trent's got those jokes, those robo jokes.
This didn't happen when I used my MacBook.
I'm not surprised. Go!
It's fine. So, I guess thinking about this prompt over the last 23 minutes, I don't really know because I haven't really listened to a lot of stand-up, which obviously showed from my lack of knowledge at the start of this show. But I just always enjoyed consuming clever content, just things that were like mentally a little bit more complex and required a little bit more thinking and was, you know, more than just your standard easy humor. And so that's why, you know, I got like super into Doctor Who, just like that whole,
yep.
It's like a lot of British comedy is very clever and like witty. And I'm all very into that. You know, the different Monty Python things.
Mm-hmm.
I loved those.
I think Arrested Development was big for you too.
Yeah, it was. And actually, as you guys were talking just now, I remember being at the summer camp I worked at all throughout high school. And I think it was one of my first times being there. Might have even been like eighth grade or something before I even had started high school. But I remember one of the older counselors who was super funny. Was super funny because he made like self-deprecating jokes, and to be specific, like he made a joke about how small something of his was, which is not typically what you hear,
like a hand.
Yeah, like a hand or a foot,
or like his foot, or
like
what?
His foot.
But like, but which was it, his hand or his foot? Because I just could you, you know how, if you could be more specific.
You know how people like to brag about how big their hands are?
No.
Okay, he made a joke about how small his hands were, and it was okay. Really, really funny. And
wait,
I was
this like a pre-Trump joke, or what was...
Ooh,
I guess
it sounds
I don't
like
get
it
the
must
context.
Have been.
It was the hands. I guess I just...
I just don't know.
I just don't know what the... I just don't see the comedic...
But anyway, it was big for me, because...
It was big for you.
As someone who's internalizing a lot of things, usually it's very easy to pick at things that I'm already aware of. His hands. His to make fun of myself. Matt's dead.
Matt, you good?
And he says I'm not funny. When clearly.
Oh, I never said you weren't funny.
No. So, I mean, that was big for me just realizing, like, wow, like, that's really funny. And really shaped a lot of, like, it's just funny to be, like, open or just, like, not to be ashamed of, like, leaning into something that's normally an insult. And I don't know what that was, Mike. And
Sorry, I stretched. I had to stretch.
Mike forgot that we were doing a podcast and just decided to scream into his microphone.
For a moment there, Mike wasn't with us.
And the last thing I'll say before someone screams is that I had the benefit of having two older siblings growing up, which isn't something that I don't think everybody here had. But when I tried things and they weren't funny, I found out very quickly via wedgie communication.
Yes.
Yeah. If something was annoying or if I repeated things too many times, like, it was, oh, well, Trent, you're being annoying, and now your head's in the toilet. La, 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 la. It's fine.
So, for those of you who don't know Trent's siblings, you might think that he's exaggerating, but I assure you he is not.
No. No.
Boy.
But,
and they're wonderful. I mean, Hannah, I love you. Junior, I don't think you listen, but if you do, I love you too. But
if you do, you're here.
But, hi. So yeah, I think that's a lot of what I've done, and I don't know. I'm very into niche things, so I listen to things, or the things I do consume aren't consumed by a lot of people. So when I do take things from them, it's not as recognized, which is, I think, a big part of it too. It's just studying a lot of things all over that I find appealing and seeing why I like that, and then integrating that into how I communicate just on a regular basis.
I've noticed that about your humor, especially like after I started kind of watching and like being more involved with the same content that you guys listen to, like while I started living with you guys. That's also a part of a lot of where like my humor came from, is like being amongst funny people. We've talked about this, like being with other people who like both have a knack for comedic timing, which is very, very important, especially like even if you're amongst good buddies or like if you go into a social situation. I guess backing up in junior high, high school, it's my turn, junior high, high school. like I, kind of like Matt was, this is going to sound really, really bad, but like, I felt like I was a naturally funny dude, and like people came to me with and said, you're funny. And I was very interested in like, why? And, but one thing that I learned very quickly is that like, I often, got a little bit obsessive with that and tried a little bit too hard. And I remember in particular, this is very, very embarrassing, and I'd still cringe about this. Like, I was at a campfire with some friends and I kept making jokes, and like someone called me out and said I laugh at my own jokes like way too much. Ooh. And it was so annoying. Oh, and they like called me, like, oof. it was brutal, and I was like, ouch. Oof. And I know who that person is, but I'm not gonna say it because it still haunts me. But even on this podcast, like, I will laugh as loud as I can, because I think feeding off each other's humor is very, very important, regardless of whether everybody's on board with it or not. The thing is about comedy, like, if you flop and if it doesn't go so well, like, why tear someone down for it? Like, just enjoy a moment. Like, that's kind of what I am excited
was
about.
Was that a jab at me?
Yeah, I feel like I immediately feel bad about making fun of Trent.
No, I mean, no.
I don't feel bad.
Well, and here's if I might just pull it back before I officially hand it off to you, Mike.
Let's be official.
And let me just quick hop right back in here. I think it's a little bit part of why, I don't know, people don't necessarily know me as funny unless you have been around me, because I'm not necessarily publicly funny. Like, I'll say something to a friend, like in high school, this happened all the time. I'd say something to a friend, and then that friend would say it, and then that friend would make everybody laugh.
Oh, I had that happen to me sometimes, and it was the worst.
And I didn't necessarily mind it. And I think that's why, like, you know, when we talked about what we'd want to do, and I said a writer, that wouldn't necessarily be weird for me. Because it was like, oh, like, that was funny, and I just said it to somebody, and they got the laugh, and I still was here to enjoy it.
That's something that George Carlin talked about in an interview about comedy and him, that there are people who just love to hear their words spoken by professionals. And then there are those people who love speaking words that other people wrote and not taking credit for it, but being that medium it's through. And then there are those who can only derive pleasure from speaking their own words. And I mean, it's clear, especially because you were talking about last week, that you're on the, you don't mind other people using your comedy, and you can sit back and know, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah.
So, Mike, you have anything else to say? Bless you.
I mean,
sorry.
You're great, Zach. Bless you.
You're fired, though. Out of the podcast.
I'm interested to hear what Chris has to say, but I'm also interested in.
Like, but I also love talking about myself.
What?
I'm also interested in talking. Ask.
Mike, were you like the funny one in your family, or like before you started making jokes, who was the funny one in your family?
Trent, you asked me a question. I can't quite remember what it was. I got
family.
Distracted.
If family. You were.
Where were you in your family?
If I have a family, I do.
You do?
I'm so proud
That's
of you.
That's news to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Newly acquired.
What? What do you mean acquired? Did you kidnap them?
Leased.
I leased a family, yeah. It's rentafam.com.
That's illegal.
My dad was a very, very funny man. It still is a very, very funny man. And
rest in peace.
love you, Pops. and I really wanted to pick up on that and like understand why, because like in social gatherings, like my dad is a fantastic storyteller and a great, great joke teller. And I want to kind of take that from him. And like, I listen to his jokes and retell those in social situations and just love when,
yeah, your dad's hilarious.
Yeah. He's a very great entertainer. He was in a band for a long time and like has a knack for both performing and like timing. And I think we all were in the car one time when we were checking out one of the houses that we were going to rent, and he told us a joke, and he messed up the punchline just a little bit, and it bugged him for like the next 20 minutes. And like, I know that about
really regretted
he,
it.
Yeah. But like, it's not like he, I mean, I, yeah, it's just, my dad is very, very good at telling jokes. And,
yeah,
but anyway,
That's an awesome influence.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm glad I have that. Chrissy Oos.
What?
I'm ready.
We'll get in. Oh, I got a lot of things to say about Mike.
Great. All
right.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know if I necessarily have like one influence. And I also wouldn't say I'm necessarily that funny. I feel like I'm mostly funny by accident, if I am funny. And honestly...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think you meant to say that, though, Zach.
You can bleep that, right?
I guess.
Or just cut it. Can we just forget that I tried to interrupt Chris?
Well, we can try.
It would sound unnatural if Chris said an entire sentence through and through.
That's
so
true. I'm so sorry.
I can't take it out. People will know that this is edited then.
Where was I?
Oh, nobody knows.
Someone was
so
swearing.
Chris, I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I feel like I'm accidentally funny when I am. And honestly, I think it's gotten to the point where I'm, if this makes any sense, a selfish comedian. Like, even if it's not funny to other people, like, I make myself laugh in my head, so it's like, whatever. It's still a win.
I love that.
But
that's not being selfish.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm still sharing it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. I typically like witty humor and, like, sometimes dry, sometimes stupid funny. It kind of depends on my mood, but I definitely like puns. And... because they're so bad, but people still laugh. I don't know, it's funny to me. But I also I tend to take way too long to make a joke, so like I'll think about it and then people are like three conversations later and then I bring it up, or I just don't because it's too late. And yeah, either that or I'll make a joke that's like way too complicated that it's funny to me, but no one else gets it. And then I have to explain it and then it's not funny. So
a nuanced yeah, joke.
Exactly. I think that's why, I don't know, you're especially just so funny to us. God love it.
Well, yeah, I figure worst case, even if the joke is terrible, like the fact that I'm still trying to make it is funny in and of itself. So I don't know.
Yes.
I think there's a definite difference between intentional humor and like unintentional humor. And unintentional humor sounds, to me, it's definitely not the lesser of the, or the greater of the two. Like they're equal humor or forms of humor. But the unintentional humor is almost more funny just inherently because you know that it's effortless. And because
unintentional humor is called talent.
Yeah, no, it comes from like a sweet, like Chris, you're the sweetest, most like lovable dude. And when you say things, they're genuinely funny. Because you are who you are. And there's like a beauty to that that you can't get trying to be funny.
Oh, thanks, Zach.
And it's something that I'm jealous of. Like, I wish that I could be that because it's so good.
Thanks, Zach. I was just going to say, I guess of any of the influences, like Mike, it would be my dad because he definitely makes the typical dad jokes and my mom just rolls her eyes always. And I don't
your
know,
dad's a just, funny dude.
I've always laughed at his jokes and I think it's funny even though it's not, and just the reaction of everyone rolling their eyes just makes me giggle. So yeah,
that's silly.
I love it.
But do you have a cool way to get into it?
We could all just start laughing,
you know, because we don't have assistance to stock our beer fridge. We need to stock our own beer fridge because we're not comedians with assistance. So let's get a stocked beer fridge. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well, hello there, folks. Welcome to the center of the beer cast, the middle of the stock fridge, and I've got a couple of boys here that are going to tell you a joke, which is what is bringing this episode to you, and they're going to say it together. Ready, set, go.
How do
same time
Trent Manny
is
to
good at
screw in a light bulb?
12
penis. Wait.
All of that was bad. Good night, folks. Chris, I love your humor because you make the joke even though you know when people aren't going to get it. You don't care. Like this is like you said, it's for you. This joke is something that when somebody said something in your head pinged. You said, there's something here. And there's something good.
And Chris gets digging.
And then you mull over it. You just... You mull.
No.
That's
no,
brain... That's how the brain sounds, Trent.
I hope not.
That's not... pleasant.
And then Eureka! There it is! Hey, everybody. The joke.
The joke emerges from the depths of Chris's mucky
from the
brain,
depths
what it
of
sounds
Chris's
like.
Brain, which sounds like this.
It's not how it sounds.
That's how Chris's brown saying. Brown? Brain sounds.
Brown sayings.
Brown sounds.
Blah, blah, blah.
Nope. And we can't keep going.
And then those who know Chris well will laugh, recognize that this is something that we said 15 minutes ago, and like Mike and I will laugh every single time. Mm-hmm. Chris, I love your humor because it is witty, it is punny, and it's great. I love your humor,
and I think this is why Chris was such an essential part of our group, is because we often circle back to things. So by the time Chris has digested the joke, he'll say it. And I think sometimes he'll like forget that he was thinking about it maybe. And so that's why like it feels unintentional to him, because like he was thinking about it before. And by the time we're back to it and he says something, it's just like, holy cow, Chris, like that was so good. That just popped out of nowhere.
But also, here. But also, Chris, where have you been? Like, do you know? Do you know where we are now? Are you aware? And this will bring me to Mike. One of my favorite jokes that we've made together, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm pretty sure this was with you. Was this with what the book joke? That was with you, right? Yes.
Yes. I think. But I thought you did that with Trent because I was on a totally different page and I was on board with it.
I thought this was about Chris. Trent, was me about Chris?
I mean, I remember the goof.
So basically what had happened was we were all just chatting as a group of friends, and then Chris bursts out with this joke about something from 15 minutes ago. And then I guess this...
Yes, I was 100% there for this.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was the three of us. Mike, Trent, and I, where we all just were like, Chris, what page? And then we all mimed grabbing a book, licking the finger, you know, and then paging through. Chris, you page, you were here. And then we put the book away. We'd like pretend we were in a library, scooting down on one of those ladders that you can scoot all the way around a library on. You're over. And then we'd grab a tome from the, we'd blow it off. You're page, here. And what we would do is we would make it longer and longer, the time in between grabbing the books. Like we'd paddle across a river. Chris, you were over here. And that turned into an inside joke, which will bring me to Mike. Mike, you are like the master of inside jokes. Hmm. You have got the timing and the comedic awareness to know when something will be funny pretty much every single time, no matter the context. And that, I think, you really learned from football. Your football buddies... I mean, even jokes that we share today, many of them are from your days in high school football. Mm. And that was a group of goofy guys. Like, I don't know them extremely well, but they were hilarious, and you guys came up, and I think that's where you really got your precision and awareness of when something is going to be hilarious every single time in an inside joke sense. For example, that came from something in football, and then eventually evolved into something we did in choir. Mm-hmm. We would sing. Okay, sing with me now. And that was just the funniest thing. That was the funniest thing every time.
Every time.
Every time.
It never failed.
And only to us.
And that was the best part.
I mean, you're naturally a charismatic guy who can make, you can make strangers laugh because you're confident, you are quick, you're a handsome dude, you're tall, you're intimidating, they're scared that you're going to hit them, you know, just like right. All the normal things that make a guy funny. But, but I think you really, really excel on those callbacks from things that just are obscure and just somehow make me laugh every single time. So I think that is your comedic genius right there.
Well, thanks, Matt.
Trent, I totally agree with you in your self-deprecating humor and the way that you set it up. You set yourself up. You set other people up to make jokes about you. When you're not making jokes about yourself, you are almost actively setting other people up, which is something that I've been working on honing myself and trying not to sound so mean when I call people out on, say, a mispronunciation or a silly way they phrase a sentence, Mike. And
yeah,
but Trent will almost set himself into a situation almost like he scripted it.
Yeah, like 12 steps ahead.
he's always ahead of the game in that sense. And that really, and that's why I completely agree. Like, if you were to dive straight headfirst into comedic writing for a television show, for a comedian even, I mean, you would nail that. I mean, we just give you a topic, and just some sort of improv. You just write for a while, or we spitball things against each other, and you could write something just brilliant, because you're also a really good writer and just super intelligent, and that's why you're able to diagnose when a situation is funny and how to get that down, say, onto paper, or to just be in the moment and continue that improv hilarity. So I think it's really your intelligence and your awareness of the moment that really makes you hilarious. Zach,
wait.
No, Zach. I'm just kidding. What?
One more thing I will say is willingness to commit, because that's
willingness to commit. You're so right. That's something I can say. I believe for just about for all of us, we all will commit to things hard.
Yeah.
Even if they're not funny, and that eventually is what makes it funny. Which I think you got a lot of that from It's Always Sunny. When you binge watched that sophomore year of college,
it was such a good year.
Oh, that was, I don't know, a good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was decent. Zach, you're very. I probably know your comedy the least out of anyone, because I've lived with these three boys. I've seen them at their very sleepiest. and that's sometimes when the funniest a person will be is at their sleepiest. But Zach, you're a lot like Chris in that you do have a lot of in my head natural genuine humor. Now, whether that's something that you developed, like you said, and like I believe I have, you've really made it so that you can come off as a honestly just very funny, lighthearted dude. And that's something that not only you're also big like Mike and intimidating, and people are scared that you're going to hit them or sit on them or something.
No, and, not Zach.
But I think your honesty and your ability to be genuine. And another thing, you're like one of the nicest dudes I know, which makes when you insult people hilarious.
Very good.
Very funny, because it's so out of character, and it makes the insult more funny than insulting so much. Even if you know it's a joke, an insult joke can still insult someone. But I feel like you have that added, you know, curved. You have that added soft edge to it just by being one of the nicest dudes that I know in the whole entire world. So that's kind of a diagnosis of the comedy of a guy I don't know extraordinarily well. But that's what I can see from where I'm sitting.
I was just gonna say, like, when we a lot of what we do is play League together, and part of what's really funny about that is. If Zach isn't doing well, just like his honesty and how things are going is just like, it's super funny. Like, and like you hit it on, like, he is honest. Like, he's just like, well, this is the situation. And he just like says it how it is. And it's just super funny.
I did that very bad. Huh? Huh, guys?
How was that?
Boy, I really lost this game for us about, didn't I? Huh?
Well, guys? Anybody who has ever played League with me knows that that's just 100% true, and I wasn't even trying to be funny in those situations. Well, thank you, guys. I have literally an entire page of note cards that I wrote down because I didn't want to interrupt people, so I'm going to try and like buzz through them super quickly.
Great.
But they're all like drunken half scribbles, so they're probably not going to make sense.
I love it.
Here we go.
Perfect.
So... Matt said something about Trent, and I'm going to talk about Trent, I think, most because Matt described his humor really well, and I think Matt describing Trent's humor reminded me a lot of the things that I strive for in my humor. So Trent sets himself up for self-deprecating jokes, and I think my role with you guys has been that nice guy who sometimes insults people and it's really funny. but in our other friend groups, I've definitely been on the more self-deprecating end of things. And that's something that I just now realized that I took from Trent. Trent's willingness to commit, like, guys, in high school, we had some of the dumbest goofs, like, literally some of the weirdest, like, not funny at all to anybody else ever. But the fact that Trent just kept doing it over and over again made it so funny to the few of us who knew. So I guess basically this is, again, just me agreeing with Matt all over the place. But I lied about what I just said. That's all I have to say about Trent.
Remember when I had lots to say about my very good friend Trent? I don't.
Mike and Matt, like, the first time I met you guys, it was for Trent's birthday, and I, like, played video games with you guys a little bit, but I'd never met you, and I was so nervous because on the video games, you guys were even funny. And I just remember standing in the entryway of your guys' college apartment and, like, just watching you guys interact, and it was so, like, it was just beyond anything that I'd ever seen in person before, because you guys were so naturally just, like, without hesitation, playing off of one another and just, like, bouncing things back and forth, and just, and I was literally, like, I felt bad for how much I was laughing, because I was like, oh my god, I'm this nerdy dude who's, like, just laughing at their goofs, like, I've never seen a goof before. I remember saying something to Matt about how funny Mike was, and how funny you two were together. And Matt, you said this sentence, yeah, we play really well off of each other. And I think that's important to think about when you're talking about humor in a group of friends, is like, I think we're such good friends because we all play off of each other really well. And I'm going to hit on this again later, but I'm just so grateful to be part of this group of friends who does play off of each other so well. And I'm so thankful that you guys have let me emulate your humor and learn from you guys and be included in that. It's amazing, and I can't thank you enough.
Dying again, it's fine.
Chris, the fact that you, Matt, touched on this, and it really resonated with me, the fact that you make jokes for you is the best. It goes back to that genuine, like, sweet, sweet boy humor. Like, it just, gosh, it's the fact that you're doing it for you because you think it's funny, it is part of that genuine, like, you're not trying to be funny for other people. You're doing it because you genuinely enjoy it. And that's cooler than I'll get out.
Being cool. It's ice cold.
Matt, I have a disagreement with you.
Okay.
Mike's timing. You
was, is you it bad? Said that Tell me got, if it's bad.
You said that he got most of it from the football team. And I didn't know Mike pre-football team like you did, but
I was Mike's never pre-football. I've played since.
He's always been football.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe it's just something that he's developed as he's grown up, but I feel like Mike's one of those guys who just has that natural timing ability. And I definitely think that football has probably honed it. But I think that you and I are very particular to think that people get their humor from sources rather than just intrinsically having it, because we didn't intrinsically have it. But if ever anybody were to just intrinsically have comedic timing, I feel like it might be Mike.
No. I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on that. I think that's a really good point and something that was short-sighted of myself to just say. What I should have said, what I'll amend what I said, is that football influenced and honed the natural talent of humor that he already had going into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that I don't doubt for one second. I just realized that I nonstop talked for a long time. No.
But it's all good. It's all good. And you got. Yeah, no, good.
I'm going to crumple my note card after this. But one other thing that I wrote down is, I think a big part of being funny is not taking yourself too seriously. I think it's super, super hard for a comedian who takes himself too seriously, himself or herself too seriously, to be funny. And that's one thing that I 100% learned from Trent. And
You know how he's always taking himself so seriously.
No, but like, just like he was talking about that self-deprecating thing, like it, I mean, it's the best, like just being able to laugh at yourself and not like, yeah, like he made the little joke and I thought that was really refreshing. It's like, yeah, like I don't want to make the opposite of that. Like, that's not funny. That's,
yeah, I've got big hands.
Right.
What?
And that's something that I've also picked up very, very much from Chris, from Mike, from Matt, from all of you guys, from Colin too. I know he's not listening, but I've even picked it up from him. And again, I just want to iterate that I'm very, very grateful for all of you. And I don't remember who went after me. Trent.
Yeah.
Trent.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say, because I'll try to keep it short, because I know we're getting close to the end here. Like, I think that's why I'm so close to each one of you, is because I was able to appreciate and feel appreciated by, like, each and every one of your guys' humor. Like, we did play well with each other. Like, Zach and I, we did improv in high school. Like, we went to competitions for improv in high school, mm-hmm. and, like, never did well, even, but had a ton of fun, like, practicing and just, like, goofing off, like, along the way, and, like, that was just a huge part. Like, him and I just got along so well because we could just, you know, bounce things off each other. And that's something I can say for each one of you. Like Matt and I did that, making fun of a dude at this party who is just being a huge D-bag.
That's how we met,
like, instead
my
of
dude.
Just like being quiet, like about like silently jogging this dude, we just started talking about it openly and just started going off of that. And,
our friendship began insulting one person.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, same thing. Yeah. It's sad, but it's true. And Mike, I remember, even like when you came down to like hang out with Matt, like I was so nervous for the interaction, because I was like, man, I hope like this isn't weird, because it could definitely be weird to meet friends of friends and mm-hmm. like, oh, like that person was like, kind of weird, and like I don't know why they're hanging out with them, like that was awkward. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like having the best time with you. Yeah. And when I found out that like you're coming to Belmont, I was just like, heck yes, like that was such a good time. Like, and we were hanging out, and just because you and Matt were able to bounce each other off, mm-hmm. like and Matt and I were able to, and just like we just incorporated it, and it just was like instantly, you know, making jokes and
yeah.
feeling close to each other.
And I think Matt was a great mediator for that as well. Sorry for interrupting you, but like it was so, so natural. And like Matt has a knack for picking up on other people's sense of style in terms of their humor, and like both egging them on to like keep that going just for like as much as you can ring out that line of jokes, and then maybe like meshing it with another person's like style. I don't know. The way that we worked, like when we moved in together, especially, it was the best. And those are some of the best years.
Those 2 years were so much fun.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Unforgettable.
And I think even back into freshman year, like hanging out with Chris and Connor and Matt, and like all that time we spent together, and how Chris was just like always just so on point, like when he did like make a joke, and just how how awesome it was, like every time between them, like being the best dude ever, and just like being just a great dude to be around, because it made you just feel better to be able to like make these jokes and just like have that energy, just that positive vibe to be able to bounce things off and not be just like stuck inside your own head. Like, he's just a good person to be open around and to feel free to make those jokes. So,
I will just kind of scooch off that, because what I love about Chris's jokes is that like he takes his time, and as soon as he lets it fly, oh my Lantis, it is 10 out of 10. Like, you hit that out of the ballpark.
Geek out.
Yes.
I cry.
And that has happened a number of times on Poor Quality, yeah. and I cannot help but just die in my chair. It is, man, Chris has got that down to a T.
But before you continue on, okay. That's like the funniest thing when I listen back, is because sometimes I don't always hear Chris when he says it live. And so when I listen back, like usually it's the things that Chris says. I'm like, oh, wait, I missed that. That was so good. Oh, I love it.
That's not the worst when that happens in real time, when you miss a goof and you're just trying to keep up with everybody's laughs.
Yeah, it happens.
Anyway, let me, I wish I knew, Zach's humor more.
Because I know that, like, Zach and I haven't had the most face-to-face relationship time, but I, like, I'll kind of feed off of what you guys said. I know how genuine Zach is as a boy, and I've learned a lot more from this podcast about each of your little nuances and, like, what we say. Zach is just like Chris in that he is genuinely, genuinely funny, and, like, he... as and just as is Matt, because like you guys know what comedy is and like how to hone in on like what people, what appeals to people and like what is funny commutatively, but also like for specific people, because you won't say jokes to us that you'll say like in public, because that's horrifying to think about, especially for
some of the things that have been said are not safe for anywhere,
no,
including the place that we said it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you say things and you're like, ooh, shouldn't have said that.
That shouldn't have even ever been in my head at any point, and it certainly shouldn't have been in the air, which it is now. Anybody? Nobody? Okay, I guess I'll go to bed now.
Maybe I should leave.
Maybe I should just go home.
But that's what I love, too. Like, we all have our little nuances that we've picked up with each other, and, like, we've really developed a strong chemistry, like, both... like with each other, but like when we rally with each other. I'm so excited for this weekend, guys, and to
we haven't even talked about that at all.
Oh man, and to like be with you all, not even just like on a podcast episode, but like I love making goofs and cracking jokes with you guys, and like to do it in a Google Hangout is cool, but like, man.
But we're going to be in person all weekend together, and yes. It is going to get rowdy.
It is
going to
get silly.
Up on the social media.
Yeah, we're going to document it, so.
Yes.
Be on the lookout for other medium other than audio.
Hey, Chris, you got anything to say about me and how great I am?
Yeah, Chris. Well, actually, if you could start with me, Chris.
No.
Well, you were,
Chris, if you wouldn't mind.
Matt was first on my little note list. But
yeah.
I guess I can start with Mike.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everyone kind of said a lot of what I was thinking, so I'll try to keep it kind of short and sweet. But I don't know. I'm going to start with Matt. I'm sorry, Mike. It was in my list. I'm going by the list.
That's really good.
Matt is just like, it astounds me how quick on his feet he is all the time. And just like snap of a finger, he's like at the joke, and it's always just snarky and funny, and like sometimes almost sounds like he's being mean, but I know he's being genuinely just trying to be funny.
He says these mean things, so but he's trying. Oh Lord,
no, I don't mean it like trying to be funny, but like
it's for the good of others.
Because I know you, like I know it's not you're actually being mean. But,
I
like,
don't mean it like you're trying to be funny. It's just what I said.
I don't enjoy this, but other people do.
Other people probably like
love
this.
Love it.
Other people would laugh. Come on, guys. He's not so bad.
Matt is just a king of improv, and it's great. Mike?
What? I'm scared?
That didn't sound good.
Honestly, no. Honestly, Mike, I think, makes me laugh the most just because of... He just has this voice, and his delivery with his voice is just so funny. Like, no matter what he's saying, it just makes me laugh. And, I mean, unless he's being serious, but you know what I mean? Like,
which I rarely am.
He'll just come up with these random noises that I'm like, how? I don't even know where that noise came from. I can't make that noise. It's hilarious.
Can I just add a little sidebar? Also, your facial expressions?
Yes.
Lord have mercy on me.
I can't even. Oh my God. Some of the Snapchats I get from Matt or Chris. I'm just zooming in on Mike's face while he's doing something is.
The imagery I've captured of this man is. I have so many pictures of Mike on my phone, guys. I have so many pictures of Mike on my phone.
Yeah, no, you're so right. It's definitely the face, too, because. Don't get me wrong, he's got a handsome face, but he can make some funny faces.
I'm also a face contortionist.
He can do some things.
Yes. He's got a handsome face, but boy, can he make it look ugly sometimes. Is what Chris just said very nicely.
He does just about everything he can to not look as handsome as he usually does.
And then, I don't know, Trent, just, I think something that hasn't quite been touched on yet, but he'll do some pretty good impressions.
Oh, let's not rub the ego of an untrue.
They're just so funny because he's so committed to it.
Anything right now, I will end this whole podcast series. If I hear one word
do it.
You know what time it is.
And the thing is, they're all great voices.
Okay, I have to admit, Sebastian is my favorite of your impressions. Can you give us a bar?
No.
Can you please? For the record.
Under the sea.
Perfect. Exactly what I was looking for.
I guess basically what I was going to say about that is just that they may not always be accurate, and that's part of the comedy, but they're just such good voices regardless.
See the trick that Trent uses is he may not be good at impressions at all, but he, like a Pokemon, will say his name, the name of the impression he's doing, while he's doing the impression.
No, I never realized that before.
Zach's just discovering it.
You're just realizing that this is how he does it?
Hello, it's me, TV's Tom Kent.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I had for him was also just his commitment to like the bits that he does, and just specifically Matt, Trent, and Mike can just riff off each other so hard, and it's just hilarious, and that's something that I admire and cannot do, so I'll just sit back and listen and interject when I can, but like it's just the funniest thing.
Unless we're in public and then you either walk 20 feet ahead of us. Chris, where are you going? We got a great goof going on here while we're walking to get food at the cafeteria. He must be hungry.
Okay, so Zach, again, I'm sorry, I haven't had enough face-to-face experience with you, but I mean, every time I have, you've always had funny things to say, but I think, like was mentioned before, your teddy bear insults are great.
Teddy bear insults.
And then I think the second thing would definitely be just you're very masterful with your punny interjections, especially on the podcast. Like you'll take something someone said and then like further craft how it should have been said and then restate it, and it's just that much funnier. So yeah,
thanks, Chris.
Yes.
Well, boys, I gotta say, I had an activity for us to do, but unfortunately or fortunately, it looks like we're all bottoms up.
I've been bottoms up.
Would everybody agree?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I am.
I've been bottoms up for a hot second.
Well, in that case, I'd like to start the signing off process. Boys, I have been Matthew... He tries. Byers.
I've been Zach Lyme Disease Schroeder.
Oh! That's a pull.
I have been Michael Face Contortionist Wadena.
Beautiful. It's beautiful, though. It's still beautiful.
I've been Trent Such Small Hands.
Oh, boy. I would have also taken It Was Big For Me.
I've been Chris. I'm over here, O'Brien.
I love it. I love it because you are. Well, folks, as I said before, it looks like we are bottoms up. We'd like to thank Waker for giving us this time to crap.
Crap all over our whole ones.
Give us time to crap.
It's how good Waker's album is. You can just listen to it over and over again until the beer you drink comes out the other end.
Boy, that's gross. I'm going to just start over. We'd like to thank Waker for giving us time to crack open our cold ones with their song Gemini from the album This Is Waker. This particular show has been a poor quality.
You did host
like
it.
Our humor.
If it was.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
No.
Honestly, what else did you expect?
Not. It's your fault at this point.
It is your fault, Trent. You're the one who really pushed us to do this podcast.
I was on so many times,
but you made it.
Oh, quality.
I cried like four times.
And you're recording.
Out of my face.
Yes, and you're recording.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And email us. Please email us. Nobody's emailed us yet. My heart sank to the floor.